Good morning, and welcome to Zion. If you're a visitor here, we invite you to fill out a visitor card in the back of the pew in front of you, and then put it in our offering basket during our offertory. Many of you might be familiar with the phrase, "The only certainties in life are death and taxes." Well, last Monday was the deadline for filing your taxes, and then the day before was Easter, where we celebrated the resurrection of Jesus and the hope we have even in death. I think it's important to recognize that even through Jesus, death is still a certainty. Our hope is not to avoid death, but that death is not the end. We still have to embrace the imperfections of this world, even as we look forward to its renewal. There might be times when we must face the temptation, as did Jesus, to avoid these imperfections, to take an easier way out. But the trials that we face help to develop our faith. And our faith is eternal. And unlike the imperfections of this world, it can transcend death. I'd like to invite those of you who have announcements to come forward. And while the people are doing that, let's stand up and greet one another and celebrate the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. And maybe, even as with death, there can be hope after taxes.
So back on where the guests sign in, there is a card for the Wing family, and Mary Massengila made the announcement a couple weeks ago that they lost their grandma unexpectedly, and the three kids, Caitlin, Ben, and Thomas, are all teens, and they've been to a lot of Bible schools, so if you think about it, sign in that card, and then Cynthia can get it to them. Thank you.
You all got an email announcement, I think it was last week, maybe week before last, about the refugee family, Somali refugees, that Salem Mennonite Church is sponsoring. And they, the woman, they've been here, I think, maybe a month, and the woman is going to have a baby in the next couple of weeks. And the request is for people to buy her some stuff that she needs. And she has registered at Target, and the email that we got asked us not to buy anything that's not on that register because of cultural issues. They're Muslim, and so I went on that website last night and I ordered some stuff, and I noticed that nobody else had ordered anything, so that's why I'm here this morning. It's not that far away that she has her baby. And refugees, when they come, have absolutely nothing, including clothes, most of them, except what they're wearing, and maybe a small bag. So this is a real need for them. If you can make you can buy the gift online, and there's a place to check right at the very end to have it delivered to her house. And that's what they want us to do, so that we don't have to get all coordinated and get things to her, and she'll get it on time. So please think about that and look that email up, and the link to the Target website is right on the email, and it works just fine.
Don't forget, next Sunday we will have a fundraiser meal. This will be a West African meal. And this is going to go to Pastor Fabe, who was here 2 years ago during our vacation Bible school. These funds are going to support a livestock enclosure project, and the bricks are being made and the land is being purchased. So that's what the money is going to be used for. The youth, the high school youth, will be helping with the meal. We don't need to raise more funds this year for any of our activities, so we're going to help with this meal. It will be a West African meal. Thank you.
All right, please join with me in the call to worship. Glorious God, this is indeed the day which you have made.
You caused new life, church for beauty and fairness.
You adorned the creation with splendor and grandeur.
We lift our voices in new praise. Help us walk in knowledge of Christ's coming and the glories of today.
Surround us now with the assurance of your Holy Spirit as we sing, Alleluia, Christ is risen indeed.
Would you please stand if you're able as we sing some songs? And some of the kids that Jen has talked to about helping with our second song, maybe you come forward and you'll be here at the front. Is that part? Anybody, young or old, feel free to do the motions. You can follow along if you don't know them. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my heart. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show. From the grave to the sky, Lord, I lift your name on high. Please remain standing and turn in the blue hymnal to number 100. Seated, but turn to number 277. 277. I know that my Redeemer lives.
What comfort this sweet tempest gives, oh.
Ushers, would you please come forward for today's offering? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, which you have given us, we can never repay. May our offerings to you be a sign of our love for you and our faith in you and our praise for your wondrous and infinite love for us. Amen.
I did it, and I don't see a light on either.
Good morning. So, I've been thinking about this little family right here. See my family? This family, they're going to move. They're going to move from this house to, did you see over there? See that house over there? They're going to move. And they're trying to figure out what's the most important thing that they should take with them. So I'm wondering, yeah, look in the house and tell me, what do you think? You think that's, okay, so, you think they should take this chair? Okay, what else? What do you think?
I know food.
They should take their food, right. Okay, take this bed, okay? This chair? Okay, this chair? Okay, can you guys just get down a little bit so people behind you can see? Okay, so they want to take the little cradle, this bed, okay? Anything else? This chair? All right. That one? All right. Okay. All right. Oh, I forgot about that. I got to tell you one more really important thing, okay? Do you see this car? I forgot to tell you that everything that they take has to fit in this car. Look up here. Okay, look up here and look down. And can you step up so they can see behind you? Look up here and look up here. And what do you think is the most important thing that should go with them when they move to their new house? What do you think? Maybe. Yeah. So I have a question. If all of the space we have is what's in here, do you think this one should go?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You think? Okay, I'll put her in there. What about, do you think this one should go?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah.
Why should this one go?
Because.
Why? Oh, they're family. Okay. So what about, do you think this one should go?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're family.
Oh, they're family. What about this one?
They're family.
They're family. They should all go. So are you telling me that the most important thing here, in this whole house, the most important thing that should go is the family?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Now I have a harder question for you. Okay, so let's pretend, look around. Let's pretend that we had to move churches. Let's pretend that we had to decide we're going to leave this church and we're going to go move to a different church. What do you think we should take? What's the most important thing we should take? What do you think?
Unless there are more people.
All the people. Look out there. Look at all the people. Yeah, wait. Look at all the people out there. You think those people are more important than the benches? You think they're more important than the hymnals?
Yeah.
You think they're more important than, like, the podium to stand up here?
Yeah.
So what you're telling me is the most important thing in this church are the people out there?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I think you're pretty smart. And I think that God agrees with you that the most important thing in all of our families and our houses and our church, the most important thing is the people. And what's amazing is you already have that figured out, and you were kids. That's awesome that you already have that figured out, that the most important thing out there is the people. We're going to say a short prayer, and then we're going to go back to the parents, our family. All right, here we go. Dear God, thank you for each person in this church. Thank you for giving us many, many people to love us and to care for us. Amen. And thank you for being some of the important people in this church.
Good morning. Well, as you'll maybe notice in this little insert in the bulletin, the title of my sermon, Keep Your Fork, is not from Jana. It's from something I read, and they already stole my thunder by putting it in this little insert. But now you have it to take home with you and remember the story of Keep Your Fork that I will share later. First of all, we're going to have a prayer meeting this week. I want to invite everybody. It's going to be every night this week because we're going to pray for some sunshine. I said to Craig, I cannot handle this anymore. And he says, as a true Oregonian, Jana, summer starts July 4th in Oregon. And it's just, I can't wait that long. So we're going to have prayer meetings, okay? Come join me. I want to say a thank you to our kitchen committee and the wonderful breakfast that we had last Sunday. It's so fun to come Easter morning and have these wonderful homemade cinnamon rolls, little smokies, deviled eggs. Who doesn't like that? And that I didn't have to prepare it. But that it was a wonderful gift of hospitality from our kitchen committee. So can we give them a hand? You know who you are, so thank you so much. As you can see in your bulletin, you can refer to this scripture passage right there in front of you. I love the Message version, and I'm going to read that to start with. And I love that we are continuing the Easter story this morning. What a God we have. And how fortunate we are to have Him, this Father of our Master Jesus. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. and the future starts now. God is keeping careful watch over us and the future. The day is coming when you'll have it all, life healed and whole. I know how great this makes you feel, even though you have to put up with every kind of aggravation in the meantime. Pure gold put in the fire comes out of it, proved pure. Genuine faith put through this suffering comes out proved genuine. When Jesus wraps this all up, it's your faith, not your gold, that God will have on display as evidence of his victory. You never saw him, yet you love him. You still don't see him, yet you trust him with laughter and singing because you kept on believing. You'll get what you're looking forward to, total salvation. Let's pray. Lord, may this be about you this morning and not about me. I am just your humble vessel to be used. And I ask that you would give us a practical message from this passage. Amen. So I looked through some commentaries on 1 Peter verses 3 through 9. And they tell me that this letter was written somewhere between AD 64, shortly before the death of Peter, and AD 80, when persecutions were still randomly taking place. It's a letter of thanksgiving, acknowledging that we have a living, strong, quickening, and durable hope, as that hope in a solid foundation as the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. This is the reason to bless God and to give thanks. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead is the ground or the foundation of a Christian's hope. Amen? If you want to say amen several times during this, please do, because it's kind of a little, it helps me. And what I want to say, it's a little cheer to help me. So we know that through Peter's letter, that the radical break between the old pagan life to the one of new life in Christ was the direct result of new believers' faith in Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, this is verses 4 and 5 again, we've been given a brand new life and have everything to live for, including a future in heaven. And that future starts now. It's a living hope to be embraced as the whole message of Jesus, his life, his death, and resurrection. Jesus was the Word made flesh. The more we allow God's Word to abide in us, God's thoughts become our thoughts. God's desires become our desires. God's dreams become our dreams as we're regularly spending time in Scripture, in meditating on Jesus' words. This can shape us into who we are becoming. Also, in Peter's time, there were new Christians who were in danger of giving up their faith because of the hostility and persecution that they faced. What could they do? What can we do with this story? We have three choices. There are simply no other choices, but only variations of these three. Choice one, we can abandon all hope. Choice two, we can pretend that things aren't that bad. Choice three, we can believe that it's all part of the big plan. So let's look at these three choices. Choice one, abandoning all hope leads to bitterness or insanity. Because if we really took the enormous suffering of the world to heart, And we saw that there's no way out, there's no final justice or redemption. We'd either become totally lost in our despair, or we would crack under the strain. So this is not a good choice. Choice two, we can pretend things aren't that bad. Pretending things aren't that bad leads to either naive optimism or stubborn attempts to remain blind to other people's sufferings. This isn't a good choice either. Pretenders are optimistic for the sum total of humanity, believing that we can create our own paradise on earth if we just work at it together. But even if this were possible, this future paradise would not undo all of the pain and suffering and crushed hope of the past. The third choice is Peter's choice. Hopefully it's ours too. We can believe that it's all part of a big plan. This letter written to despairing Christians 2,000 years ago is Peter's way to remind them that their real hope lies in the resurrection. That no matter what happens in this life, Christ has won for them an inheritance in heaven that will not fade, that is imperishable. Do you remember what Peter was like before the resurrection? Any descriptive words? What was Peter like as Jesus faced the cross? Fearful. He was impatient, and he swore he would never betray Jesus. But then he denied him three times before the cock crowed. We see a different Peter after the resurrection. Praise God. One might even say he was an activist, a man who faced his own martyrdom with the guts to ask to be crucified upside down because he wasn't worthy to die the same way Christ died. The fact that Peter wrote this message shortly before his martyrdom suggests that it is not only his response to despairing Christians, but a confession of his own ultimate hope at a time when the Roman state was persecuting new believers and scattering the church. Resurrection hope turned this disciple into a martyr activist, a man who sought no escape. In fact, much of the rest of 1 Peter contains his instructions on how to act as believers. So we can embrace suffering as Christ did on the cross because we know that the cross is not the end of the matter. There's something better coming. As most of you know, my mother passed away this January at age 87. And she had about 2 years to prepare for her death and her homegoing, and I just really valued her courage and grace in how she did that. She was introduced at the retirement community at Greencroft 11 years ago. In her church, they did an introduction, and this is what I found at her memorial service, that she shared that her life theme was to give God the glory. And she lived this out in many ways. With her concluding act of donating her body to Indiana University to help medical students in their training. And I want to just say, as her child, she made that so easy for us in her funeral plans, in dealing with a body. We didn't have to do anything. They come and pick it up. And I found out that these obituaries you put in the paper, they really scalp you when you want an obituary printed. Well, the Amarillo, Texas newspaper would not print her obituary because we had no funeral home to show them of her death. No information from a funeral home. Her life of faith and service to others has been a real example for me of her trust in Christ as her living hope. The writings of 16th century martyrs and leaders of the Anabaptist movement can speak to us today, too, on this matter. Minnow Simons is one of those leaders. These are his words. "A genuine Christian faith cannot be idle, but it changes, renews, purifies, sanctifies, and justifies more and more. It gives peace and joy, for by faith it knows that sin and death are conquered through Christ, and that grace, mercy, pardon from sin, and eternal life are acquired through Him. Jesus is our resurrection hope. It is the certain knowledge that something better is coming. I'm almost to my story of Keep Your Fork, but hang on. Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Life, puts it this way, and this is one of my favorite books. I do not get tired of reading it. You weren't put on earth to be remembered. You were put here to prepare for eternity. From the Bible, we can gather that God will ask us two crucial questions at the end of this life. What did you do with my son, Jesus Christ? God won't ask about your religious background or doctrinal views. The only thing that will matter is, did you accept what Jesus did for you? And did you learn to love and trust Him? Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And the second question, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with all the gifts, talents, opportunities, energy, relationships, and resources God made for you? There was a woman who had been diagnosed with cancer, and she'd been given 3 months to live. Her doctor told her to start making preparations to die, so she contacted her pastor and had him come to her house to discuss certain aspects of her final wishes. She told him which songs she wanted sung, what scripture she would like read, and what she wanted to be wearing. The woman also told her pastor that she wanted to be buried with her favorite Bible. Everything was in order, and the pastor was preparing to leave when the woman suddenly remembered something very important to her. "There's one more thing," she said. "What's that?" asked the pastor. "This is very important. I want to be buried with a fork in my right hand." The pastor looked at the woman, not knowing quite what to say. "That shocks you, doesn't it?" the woman asked. "Well, to be honest, I'm a bit puzzled by your requests," said the pastor. The woman explained, "In all my years of attending church socials and functions where food was involved, my favorite part was when whoever was clearing away the dishes of the main course would lean over and say, 'You can keep your fork.' It was my favorite part because I knew that something better was coming. When they told me to keep my fork, I knew that something great was about to be given to me. It was going to be cake or pie or something with Cool Whip on it. Something with substance. So I just want people to see me there in my casket with a fork in my hand. And I want them to wonder, what's with the fork? Then I want you to tell them something better is coming. So keep your fork too. Amen? So the next time you reach down for your fork, let it remind you that there's something better coming. We were made for eternity. And that time here on earth is preparation for that. So this season of Easter, is a special time for Christians to celebrate this ultimate reason of our hope. Christ is risen and invites us to rise with him. That's no invitation to leave the table. It's a suggestion to keep your forks. Now, as I read this litany, I want you to repeat the words, keep your forks, okay? After I read a bit, you're going to say, keep your forks. Easter is an invitation to try again with God's help to break that addiction that we've given up all hope of ever breaking. There's something better coming. Easter's a chance to work at renewing the marriage we had given up all hope of ever saving. There's something better coming. Easter is an opportunity to reach out to our neighbors who in our busyness we neglect. There's something better coming. Easter is our call to look at our lack of love and seek God for compassion. There's something better coming. Easter's a chance for all no-hopers to get back their vision of what can be, because there's something better coming. Easter is an opening to renew our faith. There's something better coming. Easter is a chance to renew our strength and mount up with wings as eagles to run and not faint, because there's something better coming. Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you for Jesus, our Savior and our Redeemer. And we want to hold on to our Easter joy this morning. We want to hold on to that resurrection hope. So we rejoice that Jesus is our living hope. Amen. And you have your story here in the insert, too.
Please turn to number 522 in the blue hymnal. 522. Yes, please stand.
Something better. Something better is yet to come, right? Thank you, Dana, for that reminder. All right. But you know, we're still here. We're still dealing with this world and this life. God is here with us. We were reminded that in our Sunday school lesson this morning about how God loves us with an everlasting love, and that nothing, absolutely nothing, can separate us from that love. That's great to know. So maybe you have something that you're experiencing, you'd like to call us together to pray for you. Please feel free to raise your hand and bring the mic so you can share it. Or if you have something to praise God for, you'd welcome that as well. Who will be first?
This is Carol Miller. Jana's comment before she gave her sermon about the rain and she's so ready for sunshine. That same thought came to me this week, and so I praise God for the good day Friday. But I was looking ahead in the children's Sunday school lessons to come, and I noticed that one of them coming up is the Exodus. And when I was kind of internally grumbling about all this wet weather, it reminded me that, you know, the Israelites did that too. And they were admonished for that. And so it just, some of the things that Jana said this morning reminded me again of looking forward to what God has in spite of the circumstances that we're in. And I do look forward to sunshine, but I told Lauren, you know, we could end up with some really hot summer, and then we'll grumble about that too.
On a different note, April 23rd is a milestone for somebody in this congregation. Doug Gingrich turned a big number today.
Happy birthday, Doug. Keep her for it. Okay. That's a good response.
We'll do
that. Someone else. There are a number of things in the back of our bulletin today to be reminded of as we think about the week ahead and hold our brothers and sisters in prayer. Let's not forget that. Take your bulletin home and pray for them this week. Anyone else? If not, I invite you to pray with me, and we'll conclude this morning again with the Lord's Prayer. Almighty and eternal God, we praise you this morning that you are a God that gives us such a bright and anticipated future. There are many things in this world that would discourage us, but we know that we are people of a living hope, and we've been reminded of that today, and we thank you. Help us to live lives full of hope and gladness and anticipation. Help us to encourage one another and to build each other up. We pray for our Pastor Matt, for Don, Kelly as they travel down to the border this week. May this be an experience that will challenge and encourage them and bring them home safely so that they can share their experience with us and be an encouragement in our walk with you. This morning also we think of the Burke family. We pray for your presence and blessing on them and the extended family. May your comfort and peace help them to hold on to this eternal hope. We also think of Jerry and Wendy and their son Wyatt, and pray that you'll bring healing to him. Pray also for Jacqueline, for her health and strength. There will be many more who are not able to be with us here today because they're
homebound. And pray, Lord, that you will help them as well, even within their confinements, to know that there's eternal bliss ahead. And Lord, we thank you that you called upon us to pray and to seek you as we walk through this life. And you taught us to pray this prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Please stand and turn to number 73 in the Sing the Journey book. This will be our sending song and our benediction. Number 73.